Dear friends, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, I invite you to look with me in the Holy Bible at some scriptures that I believe have quite a bit to do with what is going on today in our world. I call your attention to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 in the Holy Bible. In Genesis chapter 18, and before we begin to read, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I beseech thee that thy Holy Spirit will use these words to touch each and every listener. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the blessed Holy Ghost, I pray, amen. I call your attention to Genesis chapter 18. This chapter and the others that we will read have quite a bit to do with some things that are occurring today on planet Earth that are against the will of God. Genesis chapter 18, beginning reading at verse 16. Genesis chapter 18, beginning reading at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. That's Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. And now let us read Genesis beginning at chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 beginning at verse number 1. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have 2 daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back, And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hand, reading again, Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee. Now, starting again at Genesis chapter 19, verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham gat up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. This is Genesis chapter 19. We read verses 1 through 29. Thus we see the account of the Lord overthrowing Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain because of the sin thereof. Their names arise again in Ezekiel chapter 16, in which a comparison is made concerning the sins of God's people. Thus, in Ezekiel chapter 16, let us look at verse 46 and a few verses following. Ezekiel chapter 16, beginning reading at verse 46. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy sisters, thou and thy daughters. Again, reading Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So thus we've read some verses in Ezekiel chapter 16, specifically verses 46 through 50, that make a reference to Sodom. Let us go now to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament, talking about the sins of people against Almighty God and God's reaction thereto. Let us read in Romans chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. And thus we've read from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 28. And as you, I'm sure, understand, God is treating here the subject of homosexual acts. Those people who are of the same sex, who engage in intimate relationships in a sexual manner with each other. The Bible, the Holy Bible, very clearly specifies that God does not accept such. God abhors it, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those who engage in that. And yet in our society, man has tried to legislate into law and has tried to instill in people, even down to the young children, that such acts are right and okay to do. And that is totally against the will of God. It is totally against the word of God. It is against humanity, and few seem to be standing up to bring to the forefront the word of God. You heard read from Genesis where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain because of their abomination, and with specificity, we saw their acts regarding visitors where they sought to know them, which has the reference to they wanted to engage in intimate sexual relations with the men. There were men there, old and young, just like it is now in the United States of America and in some other countries where they are seeking to cause people to believe that such activity is appropriate. And someone must stand and declare the word of God that homosexual activity among human beings is totally against the word of God, totally against the will of God, and that God's wrath will be visited from heaven against such as God himself has specifically said. In the book of Romans chapter 1, in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 26, we are told, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." That's what characterizes sex between same-sex humans. It is vile affection. You can call it diversity. You can call it acceptance. But you are a lie. No matter who you are, when you justify an act against the word of God, you are both a lie and a liar, because God cannot lie. And God's word refers to it as vile affections. And so here, let's read again the word of God in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." It is against nature. God says it. And when God says something, it is true. Whether you believe it or accept it or not does not change the veracity of the truth of God. If you legislate it into law and legislate against those who bring the word of God, you are still wrong, because God is always correct. God knows more than you all ever thought about thinking about knowing. God knows more than you could ever imagine that you could learn. God is God. We are temporary in this body, in this life. God is eternal. And how dare you come on God's earth and tell him he is wrong and you are right? Who are you to tell God that he is wrong, when his word in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." The word "even" seems to specify that men had done it, but now women are doing it. Even their women. And then verse 27 of Romans chapter 1 says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly." And that's what it is. It is unseemly. Let me read the verse again. Romans chapter 1, verse 27. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, which was appropriate. There is a recompense. There is the wrath of God. And there are other recompenses that come out of that. It is ungodly. It is vile. It is unseemly. It is unnatural. The Bible says it is against nature. And someone has to stand and let you know. It may anger you and your partner as you listen to me, but God is greater than you ever thought about being. God is almighty. And how dare you gather yourselves together against the word of Almighty God? Who are you to tell God that he is wrong and you are right? You have been deceived. You have been deluded. And the wrath of God will be visited from heaven against that kind of activity. He did it to the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain. And he will do it when people rise up. And now you are teaching young children that it is right and that it should be accepted. You are misleading children, and you are setting up society for a great, great, devastating fall in the future. If you are a young person, if you are a child, you ought to know that practicing homosexuality is wrong. God said it is wrong, and whatever God says is correct. God is always correct. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. The men and the women, your teachers and whoever is telling you that boys with boys in a sexual way and girls with girls in a sexual way, whoever is telling you that is lying to you. The books that have been written are lies. The books that have been written are against the word of God when they tell you that. And I know that they are encouraging you to not only believe that, but to promote that, to accept that, to confirm that. They are also giving you incentives. They are giving you things, giving you gifts if you will adopt those views. Those views are ungodly. They are against God. They are against the word of God. And those acts are unnatural. They are against nature. Practicing homosexuality, men in sex with men and women in sex with women, is against nature. It is against God. They are vile, V-I-L-E. The Bible calls them vile affections. These are people who care more about themselves, these people who practice such, than they care about God. And that's what the Bible says, if you will read here in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And that's what these people are doing, no matter who they are, no matter what power they have, no matter how much money they have, no matter how much political position they have, they are trying to change the truth of God into a lie. They are trying to change the truth of God into a lie. And thus we see here in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so it gives the reason why they are doing it, because they think human beings and what human beings want to do is more important than God and what God has said human beings should do. So don't let it be a mystery, young person. Well, why are they doing this? We don't understand. It is no mystery. They are on purpose trying to change the truth of God into a lie. and their God is the human being. They have no real allegiance to Almighty God. If they did, they would accept His word and obey His word. But their God is the human being. They are humanists. The human in their mind is the highest of the order, the highest of the intellectual order. And thus they are really saying there is no God. You may say, well, I go to a church who has a homosexual pastor or bishop or a lesbian who's a pastor. And she says that the Bible says it's right, and she is a lie and a liar. Because God very specifically said that those who do such are people who have changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. They are just little people who are looking to human beings for their status and for their approval, and they have not the wisdom to look unto Almighty God and stand with Almighty God. They are people who are messing up your future, and they are going to die, and you young people are going to be here in this mess. What I mean is that they're going to get old, like all people get old, and in their old age, like all people die, they will die, and you will have a messed up world that they messed up. And many of them are people from my generation. They're people of the baby boomer generation. And we have done a lot to mess up this world. You are inheriting a mess that we have made because many of us have turned against God. And you see now many in my generation, the baby boomer generation, promoting this mess that is called gay and lesbianism, and they're trying to say that it is right when it is totally wrong. God says so in Romans chapter 1 verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then you must know Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. For they read, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Many of you would say, well, Reverend, I don't understand. Why would God make people homosexual and then not want them to practice it? Well, again, you are drinking down their philosophy. For you see, they are trying to say that people are born that way. But God does not say that. They are trying to say it is an orientation, just like being male and female. Male is an orientation truly, and female is an orientation in terms of they are sex that God created. In the beginning, God made them male and female. That's what God made. But to be a homosexual, that is a preference. It is not a birth orientation, as the liars are telling you in their books and are writing into their laws. They are lying. God says no such thing. So why would I say they are liars? Because they are in opposition to the word of God. And in the Christian church, if you're going to refer to it, you ought to refer to it as a preference and not as an orientation. if you refer to it as being on the same level as male and female, you are in error. And there are people who don't have the wisdom to understand that in trying to help people get their rights, that this is not a right, that is a sin. There is a difference between a right. Those people who are in racial groups and who have been in slavery and who have been oppressed, they are seeking their rights. But to equate that with what God specifically says is a sin is just ignorance. And now some of those who say they are so intelligent are talking about heterosexism. A heterosexist is anybody who says, the right sex is either male or female, and if you are practicing homosexuality, then that's not right. So they would call me a heterosexist. Well, how in the world can you have education and not understand that what God says is right and what man says in opposition to what God says is wrong? But they are doing this because they are now up against powerful people. Many in the nation of the U.S. are powerful and very moneyed. They have much money and much power, and so other people are afraid of them and dare not stand and tell the truth of God. But my friend, if you're going to be a minister of Jesus Christ, you must say what God says. And if you won't, and if you don't, according to Paul, then you are not truly a minister of Jesus Christ. When you cave in, even if your deacons on your deacon board say, in this church, we're going to accept this, you are the preacher. You are the preacher, and you ought to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And I understand that in many churches, they have the power to get rid of you. But you must decide whether or not you are going to serve and worship the Creator or serve and worship the Created. I will worship the Creator. I will serve the Creator. I will say what the Creator says. Now, if you say what the Created says, then you mean that the Created, they are your God. And you need to look to them for your protection. But I can tell you, you cannot hide from God. I can tell you, you can look to them and expect them to feed you and protect you. If you look around now, you see a lot of things happening where many of them are having trouble figuring out how to feed themselves. But God is able. And so, my friend, it is a time, particularly for preachers, where you are going to have to decide. And some of you are confused, and some of you are in the mess. You are engaged in it, and you are justifying it. You're saying, Reverend, I don't know. I just don't understand. Well, Reverend, I feel that way myself, and I think that it wouldn't be fair if we couldn't participate in sex like everybody else. Let me tell you, my brother, let me tell you, my sister, first of all, the fact that you want to do something doesn't mean that it's right, and the fact that you want to do something doesn't mean that God says it's all right. And in this particular case, God says it is all wrong. If you are burning in desire, if you are a man and you are burning in desire for intimacy in a sexual way with another man, that's all wrong. If you are a woman and you are burning in sexual desire with another woman, that is all wrong. There are some of you who justify what you do. I'm not gay, but when they come to me, I give them what they want. Yes, you are practicing homosexuality. You are a homosexist. Just because you are a man playing the role of the male makes you just as much involved in it as they are. So don't even try to float that lie across my face as if, well, I'm the man, I'm not gay. You are involved in it, you are doing it, and yes, God holds you totally responsible. Also, it should be reprehensible to you. It should be despicable to you to be with another man in that way. It should be despicable to you. It is a vile effect. You say, well, I do it for money. No matter what you do it for, you are just as guilty as that other person because God said don't do it. So whether you call yourself gay or homosexual or whatever, if you engage in the activity, God holds you just as much responsible. So you may as well get off that and quit justifying your wrong. And similarly for women, you may, well, I play the part of the female in the relationship. Well, you are just as wrong because God said don't do it. And if he said don't do it, then you ought not do it. And God will hold you just as responsible as he holds the one who is the female trying to play the role of the male in a lesbian type of situation. God does not approve of it, and he is very specific and very clear. He says it is unnatural. It is vile affection. And no matter how much you try to make it look right, it is not right. Now, there are those of you who are intellectual who are saying, well, Reverend, I still don't understand because there are people who have the equipment of a male, but they sure look like females and they have the mannerisms of females. Well, that is a problem in our world. And when I say it's a problem, I mean it is a reality. But you see, the practice of that is definitely against the will of God. If someone is unable to exhibit the characteristics of a male, that does not make that person commit the acts of homosexuality. It is very possible that because of the way we've been very sinful, because of the chemicals we put in our foods and many things, that we have actually hurt mankind and hurt the human race, and that people are perhaps exhibiting certain characteristics that should not be or would not be exhibited if we had not done that. Man has been very sinful. But yet, regardless of how you look or how you think, that is no excuse for engaging in the act of same-sex intimacy. No matter how you feel, how you look, how you act, if you are a male, and no matter how feminine you feel, that is no excuse for you to engage in and act with another person of the same sex. And if you are a female, no matter how robust and tough you feel, that is no excuse for engaging in a sexual act with another female. So I say to you, you need to come back to the Word of God. And these realities of people who are male, who look like females, and people who are females who exhibit the characteristics of male, you just have to ask God to help you to live according to his will. And you would say, well, it's not fair because heterosexuals, they can do what they want and it's all right, but we can't. That is not true. That is not true. God has told heterosexuals that the only time that he allows us, that is heterosexuals, to engage in sex is when we are married. You say, aha, but they do it all the time. Well, that may be true, but God is against them also. He has told heterosexuals that when you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. All other sins are without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Yes, I know it's rampant. in the U.S. and in many parts of the world. But God is not accepting fornication. He never has. He never will. He does not accept adultery. He does not accept it. And so, no, God has not given the heterosexual freedom outside of marriage to engage in sexual activity. So when you say, well, we have to abstain when we feel gay, but the heterosexuals don't, that is not true. There are so many heterosexuals who would like to be intimate, but they have not married, and they have refrained from disobeying God. They have refrained from disobeying God because they know that to engage in sexual intimacy is against the will of God. So don't try to float that lie that, well, it's not fair to us because the heterosexuals. And even if the heterosexuals did, it would not be an unnatural act. It would not be a vile affection. And yet God says, still don't do it because I said, do not do that. Because he being God, God said to heterosexuals, do not engage in sex unless you are married. The fact that so many are doing it and that is being pushed as being okay because, well, if you are a consenting adult, it's okay, is a lie from hell. Whoever says, that for heterosexuals to engage in sexual intimacy, if they are adults, is okay, is a lie and a liar from hell because God never said that. God's word does not say that, and God will judge that. And I know they're pushing it. It's all right because they are consenting adults. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Heterosexuals, if you want to engage in sexual intimacy, you have only one godly option. You have one and only one godly option, and that is to find yourself a person of the opposite sex and marry that person. That is your only godly option. All other sex outside of wedlock for heterosexuals is sin. All sex outside of wedlock for heterosexuals is sin. S-I-N, and God takes note of it. I know you're laughing. You were saying, later for you, because you are living together, and God is against that. God is against you. You are cohabitating. You are not married. You are against the very will of God. And so you may say, oh, yeah, those homosexuals, they shouldn't do such and such. But you are also against God. All rebellion against God is sin. And God allows sex in marriage and marriage only. God allows sex in marriage and marriage only. You can tell the lie, well, we are living together to see if we are compatible. It's a lie from hell. You are committing fornication and you're living together and you are against the will and against the word of God, and you are a lie from hell. You are sucking down the very lies of Satan. It is a lie. God allows sex in one and only one configuration only for human beings, and that is in a marriage. In a marriage, and I would say in a first marriage, because when you divorce and you marry somebody else, that is adultery. Now that makes a lot of preachers mad, because you have divorced and you have married, and a lot of you preachers can't preach this because, you see, you marry people into adultery. Because you won't stand for the word of God, but you fall for anything. You say, well, they said that they were in love, and because they said they were in love, I married them. And you were wrong if you married them against the will of God. Because if you put away your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. And he who marries her that is divorced commits adultery. And you say, well, my counselors and my divorce lawyers, they told me it was all right, it's legal. Yes, they are laughing all the way to the bank. And they are telling you, oh, move on, get somebody else. But God never said that. I didn't mean to get on the heterosexuals, because this is about the sin of homosexuality. But those of you who think you are so big time and so good because you are not practicing homosexuality, God is angry at the wicked every day. God is angry at the wicked every day. And if you are practicing marriage out of wedlock, if you are practicing sin out of wedlock, even if you're doing it with someone of the opposite sex, you are sinning. God is angry at the wicked every day. You are drinking down the ungodly philosophy of the world. And the world is telling you it is all right. And unless, as long as you are a consenting adult. And the world is a lie. The world is lying to you, and you will go to hell with the world unless you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And men, you ought to go out and find some women and marry them. Women very often are willing to get married if you will marry them. So most of this falls on men. You are not getting married. Don't tell me, well, it's too expensive and this and that. Well, people got married during slavery time. People got married. You got to trust God. Go out and find yourself a woman and marry her. They need husbands. They want husbands. Go out and find yourself a woman and marry her. Most of the problems of the world are caused by ungodly men, because women will follow men. And so don't even try it. I can't find anybody to marry. You are a lie. Nobody will marry me because I'm ugly. That's a lie too. Because there's somebody out there whose daddy looked just like you. And she's looking for us to marry somebody who looked just like her daddy. All you got to do is keep on looking. I don't care how ugly you think you are. There's somebody out there who is looking for you. I was talking to a woman last night who is not married. I asked her, what kind of husband do you want? What characteristics? And she described a person in her family. She wants a husband just like that. You look just like the person that's in somebody's family that they've been looking for. So you say, you can find somebody if you act right and treat them right. And don't abuse them and don't misuse them and are not out for sex. And many men are out for sex. I am a baby boomer. And I can tell you, in my generation, in the baby boomer's generation, many of us from the outset were out for sex. Get all we could get. We are sinners. We have sinned. We've messed up God's world. These baby boomers, my generation, we've messed up God's world. Don't you step off the edge of this world without repenting to Almighty God. We are ungodly people, and we've done despicable things, us baby boomers. And now we've messed up God's world, and we are getting ready to step off the edge of this stage. And now we are leaving a messed up world. You need to come back to God. You need to repent. You need to say, God, forgive me my sins. I'm talking about heterosexuals now. I'm talking about all this mess that we are putting forth as right. It is wrong. It is wrong. all this sexual misuse and abuse of women we've done, it is wrong, wrong, wrong. We have done it. We have done it. And it is time that we come back to the realization that God is going to hold us responsible for all this mess we've done, and now we're teaching young people to do it. No, come back to God and repent. Now, for those of you who feel that, well, and males, let's say you are male and you look a little effeminate, and you say, well, nobody will marry me. Well, there's some girl out there who's looking for someone who looks just like her daddy, and her daddy looks a little effeminate. You got to trust God. If he gave you the equipment of a man, then you stand up and say, God, no matter how effeminate I look, I'm going to be your man. Strengthen me, God. And you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you go forth in the name of Jesus and find yourself a wife. Well, nobody wants to marry me. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Somebody, some girl has a brother who's her big brother who's effeminate looking, but he is not practicing homosexuality, and he's the nicest guy she's ever known in terms of in her mind, and thus she's looking for someone just like her big brother, and you look just like him. The devil will tell you that nobody wants you. The devil will tell you that nobody will have you. The devil is a lie, and he is a liar. No matter how effeminate you look, God has somebody out there that will marry you, man. If you go forth and stand and don't get knocked out by people laughing at you and saying things about you. Yeah, they're going to laugh and say things, but you aren't looking for them. You are looking for the person who's going to see in you that good that's in you. Don't let the devil keep you in effeminate bondage, but you stand strong in the Lord, and you cry to the Lord, say, Lord, I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I look this way, but God, I want a wife. God can give you a wife. God has somebody for you if he wants you married. And so don't you stay in that bondage of, well, they always laughed at me in school and they made fun of me because I didn't look strong and robust like the other boys, and they call me all kind of nasty names, and I've always been ashamed because of my looks, and my wrists are not strong like their wrists. You tell the devil, devil, you a liar. You might have fooled me to this point, but now I've heard Pastor Page, and he told me God is able to find me a wife, and I'm going to go forth as a wife. I'm going to go forth and find me a wife. That is, I'm going to go forth and find myself a woman. I'm going to find myself a woman, and that's going to be my wife. Lord, show me my wife. And then there are women out there. Yeah, you're big and tall and you have muscles and you are robust. You said, no man wants me. There are men whose mothers look just like you, and they admire their mothers, and they are looking for someone just like their mother. The devil has told you a lie. He's told you, you better be a lesbian, and you play the male role. You tell the devil, devil, you a liar. God has a man out there who wants me, no matter how robust I look, no matter how big I am. God has a man out there, and I'm going to keep praying to God, and I'm going to keep looking into God until I find that man that God has for me. God works miracles. With God, all things are possible. And for God, nothing is impossible. Don't you drink down the devil's lie because of the way you look or because of the way you feel. God is able. Rise up above Satan. Say, Satan, you may be making me feel like I'm not what God made me. You may be making me look like I'm not what God made me, but I'm trusting God. And then, my friend, you must tell God what you want. Give God your heart's desire. God works miracles. Give God the desires of your heart and make sure they're in His will. Now, if you're a woman, don't tell Him, I want another woman. If you're a man, don't tell Him, you want another man. God will not do that. That's against His will, and God doesn't work against His will. But you are a man, you tell God, no matter how effeminate you look, you tell God what kind of woman you want. And you keep on telling God. If you are a woman, you tell God what kind of man you want. No matter how big and robust you are, no matter how fat you are, no matter how ugly you think you are, you see there's somebody's mama who looks just like you. And he's looking for somebody that looks just like his mama. Don't you drink down the devil's lies that nobody's ever going to like you. You say, oh, well, all the children at school laughed at me. That was the devil. Everybody says, I'm never going to be anything. That's a lie from hell, because you can be whatever God says you can be. Don't look unto man. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. No matter how you look, no matter what you don't have, you say, well, they want somebody who's pretty. In the eyes of somebody out there, you are pretty. You say they want somebody who's intelligent. In the eyes and the opinion of somebody out there, you are intelligent. The devil is the one that pulls us down and tells us that we ain't. But God says we can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, says the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him right now and say, Lord, I heard the preacher say that you can make my life brand new. I heard the preacher say that you can give me life and give it more abundantly here on planet Earth. Lord, I heard the preacher say that you can turn my life around. I heard the preacher say that you can find me a husband. I'm a woman and I need a husband. You need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I heard the preacher say, you can find me a husband. If you're a man, you need to come to Jesus and say, I heard the preacher say, you can find me a wife. I heard the preacher say, you can find me a wife. I heard the preacher say that you love me, Jesus. They've been laughing at me. They've been calling me all kind of nasty names. They've been calling me all kind of homosexual slang names. But Jesus, I'm coming to you because I heard the preacher say that you love me. I heard the preacher say that I'm just as good as anybody else. I heard the preacher say there's somebody out there who will marry me. I heard the preacher say that God works miracles. I heard the preacher say I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I heard the preacher say with God all things are possible. Possible, and for God nothing shall be impossible. I heard the preacher say that you can make my life brand new. I heard the preacher say that I can have life and have it more abundantly. You need to come to Jesus, my friend. You who think that you are gay, Jesus is waiting for you. You who think that you are a lesbian, Jesus is waiting for you. He died on Calvary's cross for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. Heaven is made for you, for you, for you, for you. But just like everybody else, you only get in through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And that's why I'm preaching. It is my intent to put you down. It is not my intent to put you down. That is not my intent. My intent is to lift you up. It is not my intent to burden you, but it is my intent to bring you to a realization that you can get rid of your heavy load. It is not my intent to laden you with all kinds of heavy burdens that you cannot handle. But it's my intent to let you know that there is a burden bearer, that there is somebody who wants you to come unto him. And he tells you in Matthew chapter 11, in the last few verses, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, here's what the Lord says to you, gay person. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what the Lord says to you, you person out there, you wonderful person who call yourself lesbian. This is what the Lord says to you, you young lady who calls yourself lesbian. Here's what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what God is saying to you, young man, who all the boys have always abused you with words and picked at you and made fun of you because you look effeminate. Here's what Jesus says to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what Jesus is saying to you, person who've been told all your life that you'd never get married because you're too ugly. He's saying from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what Jesus is saying to you, whoever you are, outcast, you who've been the stepping rug and the off scouring of the earth in your neighborhood and your community, you who nobody else thinks is anything, you who has been downtrodden and mistreated, Jesus is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you, you untouchable. You who are in a caste system in your country where some people won't touch you, some won't look at you, they think they are better than you are, Jesus Christ is saying unto you, come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you, wife who's being abused by a husband who cares nothing in his heart, it appears, about human beings, and he's beaten on you and battered you. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you, husband whose wife is out there with the other people, and you are trying to be a right husband, and she's out committing adultery. Jesus is saying unto you, husband, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you, young child, who you are at home late at night because mom is out working, and you are scared, but you got to stay home. And you get home, and there's no one there but you because mom is at work. You look in the refrigerator and there's nothing to eat, and you're feeling so downtrodden and so forgotten because so many people at school have so much and you have nothing, and you're by yourself most of the time, and you don't have the clothes that other people have, and sometimes you don't have pencil and paper to go to school with, and you don't ever have any money hardly. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to you, young person. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And let me end with Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 10. Just reading a verse here for you so that you know you can come unto the Lord. And I really should be taking you to not Acts chapter 10, but Romans chapter 10, and see if we can get that, because my time is hastening here this morning. But Romans chapter 10 here, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 11, 12, and 13, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church, and this is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. Believe in the Lord God, and you shall be saved, in Jesus' name.